color of his eyes. He was a yacht club ad come to life.
That's a boat.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Hey, you asked.
It was a rhetorical question, you know it. Chris pushed a lock of hair out of her face. It was windy as hell by the water, and her carefully coiffed waves were unraveling faster than the seams of a cheap sweater. I thought we were getting dinner.
We are. On here.
Nate held out his hand.
Come on, Princess. Don't tell me you've never been on a boat before.
Of course I have, Chris sniffed. She took Nate's hand. The sensation of his rough, warm skin on hers sending a pleasant shock through her system. Is it yours?
I wish. Nah, it belongs to an old sailing buddy of mine. He let me borrow it for the night.
Chris stepped onto the boat. It swayed gently beneath her, and she was glad she wore her Roger Vivier suede flats tonight instead of heels. I didn't know you sailed.
I used to. There's nothing like the peace and freedom you feel on the water.
Nate's voice trailed off before he cleared his throat.
I don't have time for it anymore. I figured tonight is a special occasion, so why the hell not?
He took Chris on a quick tour of the boat. There wasn't much to see beyond the deck and a tiny cabin with a V-berth bed, bathroom, kitchenette, two stripe-cushioned benches, and an adjustable table. It was the smallest boat she'd ever seen. It's nice, she said, following Nate back up to the deck.
His laughter rumbled in the salty sea air. You say nice, the way a vegan would say a steak is nice.
Chris's mouth twitched. I'm serious. It's not a yacht, but it's cozy.
You prefer this to a yacht?
Nate sounded skeptical as he steered the boat out of its slip. Prefer is too strong a word, but I don't hate it. The boat, I mean. He flashed a quick smile.
High compliment coming from you.
It is, she said solemnly. Nate laughed again, and this time Chris joined him. She couldn't keep up with her feelings toward him. They flipped constantly from lust to irritation to whatever. She wasn't going to think about it. It didn't matter. It wasn't like she was going to see Nate again after this weekend. Once his job was done, it was done. A sudden bout of nausea hit her, and she wasn't entirely sure it was from the rocking motion of the waves.
Also, I didn't mention this earlier, but...
Nate tapped his fingers on the steering wheel.
I also wanted to apologize for Saturday, for...
Leaving me high and dry on the verge of orgasm like a total asshole? He broke into a coughing fit, his face so red it could have doubled as a stop sign.
Yeah.
No worries, Chris smiled sweetly. Too bad you stopped before I could live out the fantasies I had while I got myself off later that night. Your loss. Another coughing fit, accompanied by a far more interesting development below Nate's belt. Either he had a gun in his pocket or he was doing some fantasizing of his own. Payback's a bitch. Chris conveniently left out the fact that Nate had starred in every one of her fantasies, and that she'd come harder to mental images of him than she had during any of her actual sexual encounters.
Don't suppose you can share some of those fantasies with me? Or better yet, reenact the whole shebang?
Nate paused.
Get it? Shebang?
She burst into laughter. Thank God you're not a stand-up comedian.
Is that a yes?
Focus on the boat, she said serenely. Last thing we need is to get lost in the middle of the Pacific.
We're not going that far out,
Nate grumbled. But he did as she said and refocused on steering the boat. They settled into a companionable silence as he navigated them further into the open waters. The sea breeze brushed over them like a lover's caress, soft and full of promise. Chris watched as the lights of the marina grew smaller and smaller until they were nothing more than diamond pinpricks in the distance. Meanwhile, the sun descended beneath the horizon to an explosion of cotton candy pinks and soft purples, whose hues deepened with each passing minute. Chris could see other boats bobbing in the water,
but they were so far away they might as well be in another world. It was just her, Nate, the sky, and the sea. They stopped at some point between land and infinity. The motor fell silent and gave way to the gentle whoosh of the waves lapping against the sides of the boat.
"I'll be right back."
Nate disappeared into the cabin and returned with a woven picnic basket.
"Dinner," he explained.
He opened the basket and took out 2 cans of ginger ale, a bottle of wine, cheese and crackers, grapes, and roast beef sandwiches.
"It's not anything fancy, but this is more comfortable than dressing up for some stuffy restaurant."
"You don't have to justify it. It's your big day. You can celebrate however you want." Chris inhaled a lungful of fresh sea air. "Besides, this is nice. I love being by the water. It calms me, helps me think and process, I guess."
After a minute or so, she felt a prickling heat on her face, and she turned to see Nate staring at her with a strange smile.
"What? Do I have something on my face?"
"I like you like this."
Nate laid on his side and propped himself up on his forearm, looking for all the world like a movie star lounging on a yacht.
Chris arched a questioning eyebrow.
"Relaxed," he clarified. "Yourself, without the armor."
"I don't have armor." She sat next to him and unwrapped a sandwich.
"The Chanel and Prada and whatnot, that's armor."
"No, that's clothing. High quality, expensive clothing." He appeared undeterred by her sharp tone.
"You're rich, we both know that. But who are you without the money?"
"Still me, only poor." Chris took a small bite of bread, roast beef, cheese, and condiment.
"Oh, wow. Who knew a simple sandwich could taste so good?
Can we talk about something else? This is the most depressing celebratory dinner I've ever been to."
"You said I could celebrate however I want. Maybe I want to get to know you better."
Nate's mouth quirked up.
"By talking, not by what we did a few days ago."
Chris zeroed in on his straining erection.
"Sure, Jan."
"Don't worry about Nate Jr. He'll behave."
She almost spit out her food, which was not so attractive. Red stained her cheeks as she wiped her mouth with a paper napkin.
"You're something else, you know that?"
"Yep."
Nate stretched lazily before popping open one of the ginger ales.
"This is one of our last nights together. Figured we should, make the most of it."
Emotion swelled in Chris's throat, and her sandwich suddenly tasted like cardboard. Was she sad about her contract with Nate ending? She didn't even like the guy. Well, fine, she liked the way he looked. He made her laugh. He was smart and talented and hardworking. Plus, he was an amazing kisser, and her heart went all wonky around him.
Double fuck. "I don't know," Chris blurted, more out of a desire to take her mind off her dangerous thoughts than to answer Nate's question about who she was beneath the gloss and glamour.
"I am who I am, an heiress. It's shaped my childhood, my life. Every relationship and experience I've had has been colored by money. To ask who I am without it would be me asking you who you are without..."
"My incredible good looks and charm," he suggested.
"Don't forget your modesty."
"I was going to include that too, but I don't like to brag."
Nate's mouth tilted up at her laugh.
"You want to know what I think?"
"No."
He ignored her and continued.
"I think, beneath all the designer clothes and spoiled princess routine, you're a good person. You care about people. Maybe not everyone, but the ones you allow close to you. You could snap at strangers all you want, but the people you love, I know you'll burn the fucking city down for them. Skylar thinks the world of you, and for a 17-year-old, she's an excellent judge of character. I've noticed it too, even in the way you're handling this whole Gloria thing. I mean, the plan is kind of twisted, and it's obvious you two can't stand each other. But at the end of the day, you're doing this for your dad, even though you only see him a few weeks out of the year. If Gloria truly loved him and wasn't using him for his money..."
Nate shrugged.
"You would have gone through the wedding, ugly dresses and all."
Chris's heartbeat was a deafening staccato in her ears. A burning sensation blossomed behind her eyes, tightening her skin, and she couldn't seem to draw enough oxygen into her lungs despite all the fresh air around them.
"Admit it," Nate murmured. "You're a good person, but you don't want anyone to know. You hide behind your armor because you're afraid of getting hurt."
"Stop it," Chris said roughly. "I didn't sign up for a therapy session. And why the hell are we on a boat in the middle of nowhere? I want to go back to the marina. Now."
"No."
Her jaw dropped. "Excuse me? This is kidnapping. You're holding me here against my will." Silence. Nate merely stared at her with those piercing green eyes of his. And damn it, there went that burning sensation behind her eyes again. Chris was not one for sharing feelings. All that touchy, feely, mushy, gushy stuff gave her hives. But out here, in the middle of the ocean, with only Nate and the moon as witnesses, she felt stripped, laid bare. Maybe it was the deafening silence, or the fact that she wouldn't see Nate again after this week. Or maybe it was because he lost his mother too, albeit in a different way. And she'd already seen him broken down and vulnerable after his father's hospitalization last week. They might be from different worlds, but they were kindred spirits in a way. "Whatever it was," Chris spoke up. And she didn't stop speaking until she'd gotten everything that had weighed on her for over 2 decades off her chest. "I told you my mom left when I was 2, she said, uncorking the wine and pouring herself a glass so she had something to do with her hands. "I still had my dad, technically, but he was never around. He bought me everything I wanted, but we never spent much time together. He was always busy at the office or traveling for business. There were tons of hired staff, but I was just a job to them. The person who came closest to being my family was our old housekeeper, Rosa. She basically raised me, cooked the most amazing meals, was there to soothe me when I was upset. Then she died of a heart attack when I was 13 and I was on my own." Chris paused, gathering her thoughts. "The only thing I had was money. And look, don't get me wrong, I love money. I love nice cars and fancy restaurants and designer clothes. So I'm not saying I hate those things and use them to cover up anything. But they've become an intrinsic part of who I am because they're the only things I've ever had that were mine. Once I bought them, they stayed. They're a lot more loyal than people in that way. But the way I grew up, having my mom abandon me like that..." Damn, there went a tear. Chris brushed it away angrily. "I don't like letting people get too close. Even my closest friends who know me best don't know me. When I was a baby, I couldn't help attaching to my mom. It was biological. And her walking away, it's something that'll stay with me forever. But now that I'm older, I can control who I let in. And I will never, ever let anyone come close enough to hurt me when they walk away again."
"Not everyone walks away," Nate said softly.
"Don't be ridiculous. Everyone walks away eventually." Before she could brush away yet another tear, Nate did it for her, his thumb burning her skin as he caressed her damp cheeks.
"I wouldn't."
Chris wasn't sure if the dizzying sensation came from the waves or the tumult that erupted in her head at those 2 words. "What are you talking about?" Nate paused, like he wanted each word to be perfect before he spoke them.
"If all things go according to plan, our contract is up Saturday. But that doesn't mean we have to stop seeing each other." "I know." He held up a hand when she opened her mouth to protest. "You're leaving LA at the end of the summer. That's in a little over a month. Until then, why can't we enjoy each other's company? I know you're attracted to me. I'm sure as hell attracted to you. We have fun together. And neither of us will be the one walking away because we have a set deadline. It'll be a mutual thing. Clean, easy. No hard feelings.
Chris pressed a finger to her temple, trying to sort through her jumbled thoughts.
You're saying you want to be friends with benefits?
I'm saying I don't want this week to be the last week I see or speak to you.
She released a pent-up breath. Her emotions were all over the place tonight, ping-ponging from amusement to sadness and hurt to whatever the hell she was feeling right now. Excitement? Worry? Panic?
Nate's proposal sounded good on paper. But he'd already torn down more barriers around her heart in a few weeks than people she'd known for years had.
Chris was terrified of what would happen once their so-called deadline came to pass. Long-distance relationships didn't work. Everyone knew that, and God, what was she doing thinking about a relationship? More proof she should shut down Nate's suggestion and never speak of it again. On the other hand, she agreed with him. She didn't want their quasi-friendship or whatever they had to end once their contract was over either. Another month of Nate Reynolds sounded pretty fantastic. And, well, Chris had always been a selfish, short-term kind of gal.
Okay. Nate's eyebrows popped up.
Okay.
Okay, let's continue seeing each other and do whatever after the Gloria thing is over. With two rules. It ends the day I leave LA, and we don't put a label on it. We just go with the flow. A slow, sexy grin spread across his face.
I can work with that.
Great. Chris held out her hand. It's a deal.
No handshake. Nate closed the distance between them. The moonlight casting a soft glow on the chiseled planes of his face. We seal the deal the old-fashioned way.
Her heart rate picked up.
How's that?
He responded with a kiss. A soft brush of his lips that held all sorts of promises and sent tingles racing down her spine.
Done,
he whispered. So close his lips whispered over hers when he spoke.
Now it's a deal.
Chris stared at Nate. So beautiful and perfect beneath the stars, he seemed unreal. And she was suddenly aware that every second ticking by brought them closer to their deadline. When was the last time she met a man she connected with so much, on every level? She wasn't in love with him, but she liked him. A lot. Considering she despised, or at least disdained, most of the people she came across, that was no small deal.
Not yet, she said. Remember how you apologized earlier for being a dick last week?
Weariness took over his features.
Yeah?
How about you make it up to me and really seal the deal by finishing what you started?
The weariness melted into wicked delight. And before she knew it, he'd pinned her beneath his powerful body and her mouth had gone Sahara Desert dry. The thick blanket he'd laid down for their boat picnic cushioned her from the hard wood of the deck floor. But that was nothing compared to the steel-like erection pressing against her thigh. She swallowed hard, and Nate's eyes tracked the movement of her throat with fascination.
You never told me what your fantasies were earlier,
he said, his voice low and dark with lust.
So we're gonna start with mine. First. Chris gasped when he reached underneath her dress and caressed her through her soaking wet panties. I'm gonna fuck your pussy with my tongue until you come all over my face. Then I'm gonna flip you on all fours and pound you until people in the fucking marina can hear you scream. And after that, you're going to take the reins, princess, and ride me until you can't come anymore.
Chris had never been big on dirty talk. But hearing those words come out of Nate's mouth, orgasm incoming. She was going to fall apart in a minute, maybe less.
Please, she whimpered,
arching her hips while Nate pushed her dress up around her waist.
Do it now,
he chuckled, sliding her panties down her legs in an agonizingly slow fashion.
Which aunt are you talking about? The tongue-fucking, pounding, or riding?
I don't care. She rolled her hips again, desperate for friction.
Chris's not exactly holy missive to the Lord blended with a shout slash moan slash whatever as Nate placed his mouth on her sex and did things with his tongue that had her seeing stars. Both literal, they were still on the boat deck, bared to the open air, and figurative. As he promised, she came hard. After seconds, minutes, an eternity? It didn't matter. All that mattered were the blinding waves of pleasure crashing over her, so intense she might have levitated out of her body. Chris was still on the fringes of her high when Nate flipped her over on all fours and prowled up, covering her body with his. "Comfortable," he murmured, reaching around to pinch one of her nipples. Between her arousal and the soft chill of the sea air, they were rock hard and sensitive to the touch. She gasped and bucked back against him.
"Not the word I'd use," she managed,
her mind hazy from one of the best orgasms of her life. Nate chuckled. "I meant the duck. We can move this downstairs if the blanket isn't enough of a cushion."
No.
Chris would scream if she had to wait another second for round two. Besides, even though there were no other boats around, there was something so erotic about having sex out in the open like this. The salty breeze was another caress, and the gentle rocking of the boat, better than a waterbed.
"What happened to pounding me until people in the marina can hear me scream?" she taunted.
She knew the challenge would get Nate's blood roaring, and he'd take her the way they both wanted him to. Hard, wild, no holds barred. She smiled when a low growl emitted from his throat. He moved back, and she heard the unmistakable zip of his jeans being undone. Chris couldn't resist. She twisted her head around and watched with hooded eyes as he shed his clothes, revealing a body sculpted with glorious muscles. Broad shoulders, powerful thighs, and washboard abs that narrowed into a V pointing directly at a long, thick erection that had her mouth watering like she hadn't eaten in days. As he sheathed himself in a condom from his wallet, she faced forward again and arched her back, eager for round two to start. A minute passed. Two. When nothing happened, she frowned and turned again. Nate remained in the same position he'd been in when he'd undressed, his eyes soaking her in with enough heat to turn the surrounding air into a furnace. "What are you doing?" His lips curved into a small smile.
"Enjoying the view. You look so beautiful on your hands and knees, waiting for me to fuck you." A shiver of delight rolled down Chris's spine. She was starting to love dirty talk.
"And how long are you going to keep me waiting?"
she breathed, her voice husky with need. Nate cupped the curve of her bare ass with his palm, his thumb rubbing circles on her heated flesh.
"This is how you want me to take you for the first time," he growled. "There aren't any rose petals and champagne around, princess."
"If I wanted rose petals and champagne, we wouldn't be in this position." A pause. "Literally."
He chuckled and finally moved closer. He gathered her hair in his fist and moved it to the side so he could nip at her neck, while his other hand played with her nipples. His stubble rasped against her skin, and she shivered from the delicious sensation. Chris felt like prey being toyed with by a predator before the kill, and another rush of moisture spiraled down to her core. She was so rarely helpless and hated being vulnerable. But being at another's mercy during sex? Huge fucking turn on.
"You had your chance," Nate said.
Before she could say anything else or even take another breath, he slammed into her with such force her body slid forward along the deck, dragging the blanket along with her. All the breath whooshed out of her lungs and every thought emptied from her mind.
The only thing Chris could focus on was the pleasure consuming her as reality blurred into a series of blissful climaxes. Nate kept one fist in her hair and one hand around her throat while he fucked her with deep, forceful strokes. She realized dimly that the cries filling the air were her own. And yeah, people back at the marina probably could hear her. She couldn't care less. After what seemed like both the blink of an eye and forever, Nate found his own release and came with a roar, his hips continuing to pump until he was completely spent. Chris collapsed on the blanket, her skin slick with sweat and her nerves buzzing with the aftershocks from her lost track of how many orgasms. Nate released her and sank onto the ground next to her, his breath ragged. "Fuck," they said at the same time. They eyed each other and dissolved into simultaneous laughter. "That was..." Chris blanked, most of her brain functions still offline after the sex they'd just had.
"Yeah."
Nate wasn't winning any awards for articulation tonight either. They lay there in silence until their breathing returned to normal and Chris's head cleared. She stared up at the sky, tracking the blinking light of an airplane as it transported its passengers to some far-off location. It reminded her of what Nate said about not liking to fly. "Do you ever think about leaving LA?" she asked. "Moving somewhere else? Or just, I don't know, taking some time to travel?" A long, long silence. So long, Chris thought he'd fallen asleep and hadn't heard her. But no, Nate's eyes were wide open and fixed on the heavens as hers had been.
"Nah," he finally said. "Not moving. LA has its ups and downs, and shit, sometimes there are a hell of a lot of downs. But it's my city, my home. I love it, no matter how fucked up it is. Plus, there's no better place for a wannabe actor to crash and burn."
His tone was self-deprecating. "Hardly crash and burn. You got the Oscar Bravo movie role," she pointed out. "Speaking of which, congratulations." She glanced at their largely untouched dinner, though we kind of skipped the meal portion of the evening. Nate flashed a wolfish grin. "I didn't." Her cheeks stained pink at the memory of his head buried between her legs, and his grin widened. Great. Now she was blushing like a schoolgirl. Then again, considering the orgasms he'd given her, she couldn't be all that upset.
"I thought about studying abroad in college," he said after a while. "But then my mom died. I dropped out and, yeah, the rest is history. As for traveling, not really in the cards, given where my family's at."
"Of course," Chris felt foolish for asking. She hoped the money from their deal could help Nate's family. Not because she considered them a charity case, but because they were good people. At least she knew Nate and Skylar were, and deserved a break. Plus, it wasn't like she'd given Nate the money as a handout. He'd earned it. He was a talented actor, and he'd spent weeks on the Gloria scheme when he could have used that time to hang out with his friends or audition. Speaking of Gloria, "What are your plans for Saturday?" she asked casually. She didn't actually have a spa weekend in Ojai planned. She was just going to stay at the Beverly Hills Hotel and gorge on room service while Nate did his thing. The only question was what that thing entailed. Nate shot her a quizzical look. "With Gloria, are you..." She trailed off, already regretting bringing the subject up.
"Am I actually going to sleep with her?"
Her muscles tightened, erasing the last vestiges of her post-coital contentment. "Yeah."
"Hell no."
Just like that, Chris relaxed again. And she cursed herself for allowing a freaking guy to control her emotions like that. That had never been her. She'd never gone gaga over a member of the opposite sex. Certainly not to the point where what they said and did affected her state of mind. But Nate was his own category. And not just when it came to sex.
"I'm not attracted to her like that," he said. "I mean, yeah, she's hot. Chris frowned. But she's not my type. This is a job. Nate cleared his throat. And I know how much it means to you. So I'm going to do what I need to do for your PI to snap some good pics, and that's it. What happened between us just now? He gestured between Chris and himself. Not gonna happen with her.
Right. Relief blossomed in Chris's stomach. The reason for which she studiously ignored. Okay.
Jealous, Nate drawled.
You wish.
Maybe.
She turned her head so fast she almost got whiplash. Nate wore a sneaky grin, but his eyes were dead serious.
You know, Chris said slowly, we never finished sealing the deal. I believe there was a third part to it.
You're going to take the reins, princess, and ride me until you can't come anymore.
Heat flared in Nate's eyes. And it didn't take long before Chris was straddling him and taking them to the heights of ecstasy once more. Now she understood all the hubbub about sex. Her past encounters had been fine, but she'd never had the toe-curling, explosive orgasms you always heard about in romance novels or movies. But with Nate? Holy shit. By the time they returned to the marina, it was close to midnight, and Chris was walking around in a daze. She was so relaxed, she didn't even snap the two fratastic bros who wolf-whistled at her on her way to the parking lot. Nate's snarl, however, put them into place, and Dumb and Dumber held up placating hands before returning to their natty lights or whatever they were drinking. Nate wrapped a possessive arm around Chris's waist and shielded her with his body until they reached her car.
Let's reconvene Friday, she said,
trying to refocus on the looming milestone ahead. Just a few more days until Gloria's out of our lives forever. Go over final details.
Sounds good, Nate said lazily. Drive safe. Text me when you're home.
He kissed her on the cheek goodnight. Then Chris was off, speeding toward Beverly Hills while a part of her remained in the marina, reliving the past few hours over and over again. When she arrived home, she was surprised to see the lights blazing. Gloria was usually asleep by now. Chris parked in the garage and entered the foyer, blinking rapidly until her eyes adjusted to the bright lights. Her muscles ached from all the exertion earlier that night. And she looked forward to a few hours of deep sleep before she had to go into work. She stretched and walked across the cool tiled marble, already envisioning herself in her silk.
Chris!
A deep, familiar voice boomed through the entrance hall, followed by the quick strides of a dark-haired man in a custom-tailored Hugo Boss suit. Chris stopped dead in her tracks, her jaw unhinged, and shock unfurled in her stomach. No, it can't be. He shouldn't be here. He couldn't be here. Not yet. But he was. Daddy?
Chapter 13. Nate managed to avoid his father for a week, but things came to a head the night after his boat date with Chris. Skyler was out with friends, and Nate had stayed home to run lines for both the Oscar Bravo film and a few upcoming auditions. He was reheating a leftover casserole in the microwave when Michael shuffled into the kitchen, wearing plaid pajama pants and a white Nacho Average Dad t-shirt that Skyler had gifted him as a joke for Father's Day, in addition to treating him to dinner at his favorite Mexican restaurant. Nate stiffened. I thought you were sleeping. I woke up. Michael shrugged, his voice raspier than usual. He'd kept to himself since his trip to the hospital, only venturing out of his room for food, but his eyes were sharp and intelligent as he surveyed his son. Was he sober? Nate hadn't seen his father hit the bottle in, what, 5, 6 days? But that didn't mean shit. It was only a matter of time before alcoholics backslid, and he'd never been able to convince his father to quit and join AA. Hell, Michael wouldn't even admit he had a problem, much less spill his guts to Alcoholics Anonymous. Great. The microwave beeped. the sound loud and jarring in the tiny kitchen. Nate didn't bother waiting before he yanked open the door and pulled out the steaming hot casserole. He winced when the plate burned his fingers. Fuck. He quickly dropped it onto the counter and ran his hand under a stream of cold water, eager for something to do other than stare at his father and wonder how the vibrant, doting dad from his childhood had ended up like this. He understood Michael was hurting from his wife's death. Of course he did. Michael's wife was also Nate's mom, and Nate felt her absence in every inch of his soul. But if he, an 18-year-old at the time she passed, could pull his shit together, why hadn't his father? Michael was older and supposed to be wiser. He should have stepped up and pulled his family through the darkest time of their lives. Instead, he'd abdicated all responsibility and left his teenage son to pick up the pieces. Nate, Michael shifted awkwardly from foot to foot. We should talk. About what? Nate couldn't wait to get to his room where he could lose himself in his scripts and count down the days until he saw Chris again. He wasn't sure where their relationship stood exactly, but he'd much rather figure that out than talk to his father, even if he and Chris had agreed not to put a label on things. Last week. You'll have to be more specific. Nate wiped his hands on a dish towel and faced the elder Reynolds, his jaw flexing. By last week, do you mean when I had to cut one of my shifts at the cafe short so I could run home and let the AC repair guy in because that was the only time he could come and you were too out of it to hear the doorbell ring? Or do you mean missing another job interview because you didn't know what day it was? Or perhaps you meant when you drank so much you almost died and your teenage daughter was the one who had to call 911, wondering if she was going to lose the only parent she's got left. Not that you've done much parenting over the past 5 years. Michael's face turned the color of the old crumbling chalk. I'm trying, he said, his voice trembling. I know I messed up. I never, ever wanted Sky or you to see me like that. I haven't touched a drink since. Don't. Nate's chest was so tight it was hard to breathe. Don't tell me you've quit until you join AA or rehab or stay sober for more than a month. Hell, I'd settle for 2 weeks. You've gotten our hopes up in the past, but I'm not falling for it again. I mean it this time. Michael looked like he'd aged 10 years and 10 minutes. When I was lying there in the hospital, I kept thinking of your mother and what she would say if she could see me now. And I know I haven't been the best. I can't do this. Nate shook his head. You expect me to believe that after 5 years you're only now realizing Mom would have been horrified by what's happened to you after she died? That's BS. You've always known, but you've become too addicted to the bottle to care. Michael blanched, and a pinprick of guilt stabbed at Nate's stomach. Okay, that had been beyond harsh, but it needed to be said. He'd held on to his resentment for so long that he was afraid it had become an inextricable part of himself, and it felt damn good to get some of it off his chest. Plus, Michael needed the reality check. God knew Skylar wasn't going to give it to him, and she shouldn't, considering how young she was. And Nate had been enabling him for too long. But that trip to the hospital, that had opened his eyes. If Michael didn't start taking better care of himself, and soon, Nate and Skylar were going to end up orphans. Then again, that wouldn't be a huge change from the way things were. Michael was there physically, but he'd checked out mentally and emotionally a long time ago. Nate yanked a paper towel from the roll above the sink and used it to cushion his tray as he stalked past his father and up the stairs. Michael didn't stop him. There wasn't much left to say.
If this was God's idea of a joke, he had a shitty sense of humor. Chris shifted in her seat and tried not to scream as Risa slid a plate of rosemary and garlic lamb roast and mashed potatoes in front of her. It smelled amazing, but her appetite was in milk carton territory, aka lost and not yet found. She glared across the dining table at Gloria, who was cooing at Chris's father, and asking him about his business in Manila. She had to hand it to the step monster. She was good at making a guy feel like he was the only and most important person in the room. Maybe that was how she'd snared a savvy businessman like Roger Carrera. Given his net worth, Chris's father had had no shortage of women throwing themselves at him since Mariana Carrera up and abandoned him all those years ago. And while he wasn't handsome by conventional standards, he exuded power and authority. He dated on and off over the years, but none of the relationships lasted. He'd certainly never proposed to anyone. Then along came Gloria, with her over-the-top southern accent and double D's, and he was a goner. Roger was too smart to fall for just a pretty face and a great rag. However, Gloria was a master manipulator, and no dumb bunny. For all her shallowness and vindictiveness, she knew exactly how to flatter Roger's ego and make herself seem more interested in whatever he was interested in.
With Bobby.
It took Chris a minute to notice both her father and the stepmonster were staring at her. Her father with raised eyebrows, the stepmonster with a tiny smirk.
Sorry, what did you say?
She reached for her water and took a quick sip. If only so she didn't throw her lamb in the redhead's perfectly made-up face.
How are things going with Bobby?
Roger repeated.
Fine. I've been learning a lot.
About how stupid celebrities can be once they get a little alcohol in their system. Chris finished silently.
Good.
Her father dabbed at his mouth with his napkin.
It's good that you're learning the value of honest work this summer. Perhaps I've been too lenient with your finances in the past, but I want to make sure you understand the value of money. Your spending has been out of control recently, especially with the bill for Courtney's birthday last year.
His thick brows pulled low. Chris's lips thinned. He'd never had an issue with her spending until Gloria came onto the scene and gently advised him to curb Chris's shopping habits. Like Gloria didn't throw away money left and right herself. Case in point, the tacky, crystal-studded dress she'd bought the other day for $2,000. She'd flaunted it in front of Chris like it was something to be proud of instead of a migraine-inducing nightmare. At least Chris swiped her plastic for nice items and gifts for friends. Besides, she'd take her father's claims about teaching her the value of money more seriously if Roger hadn't reinstated her credit cards and access to her flush checking account. Sure, she had a monthly card limit now instead of a black Amex, but there were enough zeros in the bank to make up the difference. That was how she could afford to pay Nate. Technically, her checking account was for emergencies only. But saving her father from a greedy gold digger counted as an emergency, right?
You're coming into your trust fund in a few years, Roger continued. I want to make sure you're ready to handle it responsibly once the time comes.
Yes, Daddy.
Chris poked at her lamb, annoyed. She'd heard the same speech in multiple forms since she returned from Shanghai, and she was over it.
How long are you going to be in L.A.?
She asked, switching the subject before she blew her fuse. Her father's sudden appearance 2 nights ago had been an utter shock for both her and, apparently, Gloria. It also thrown Chris and Nate's plan awry. She was supposed to be ironing out final details with Nate right now, and perhaps enjoying another series of mind-bending orgasms. Instead of eating dinner and getting lectured at the massive 15-person dining room.
I'm here until the end of the summer,
Roger adjusted his tie, because he was the type of man who wore ties even to a family dinner.
The Manila deal is all but closed, and I can wrap up the loose ends remotely. Given the wedding is in only a few months, I want to make sure I spend some quality time with my girls before the big day.
Chris almost choked on her lamb. He had to be joking. Until now, Roger had spent a cumulative of 2 or 3 weeks a year with Chris. And he chose now to get all we are family on her? Not that she didn't want to spend quality time with her father, but he had the worst timing on the planet. If he'd waited another week, the Gloria plan would have been donezo. But now that he was here to stay, at least until late August, there was no chance Gloria would be stupid enough to follow through on her tryst with Nate. Nate had already texted Chris, informing her Gloria had postponed their previously scheduled hotel date tomorrow night. Fuck! All that time and energy they'd spent on the plan, wasted. And unless Chris managed to throw another scheme together in the next few months, she was going to be walking down the aisle in her hideous bridesmaid dress and watching Gloria become Mrs. Carrera number two. In which case, the stepmonster would be entitled to half of the family fortune. Chris wanted to hurl. "That's incredible news, sweetheart," Gloria oozed, playing the role of excited, love-struck fiancé perfectly. "I'm so happy you'll be here. There are so many things we need to go over for the wedding." Chris tuned her out as she discreetly texted Nate beneath the table. "Chris, Dad's here to stay. It's a no-go." "Nate."
"Shit." "Nate, how are you? Anything I can do to help?"
Chris's heart melted a little. He was so...
"Who are you texting?"
Once again, Roger's voice yanked her out of her thoughts. "What?
Who's so important that you have to text them during a family dinner?"
Roger repeated, sounding more curious than upset. "No one," Chris lied. He may not be an attentive father, but Roger was quite particular when it came to the boys she dated. Only upper-class, Ivy League types need apply. Not that she was dating Nate. They were just hanging out. "Perhaps it's her new boyfriend," Gloria said primly. "They've been spending a lot of time together." Chris's gaze snapped toward the stepmonster. The red-headed troll stared back with unnerving composure, considering she'd been ready to ride said boyfriend like a bronco before her fiancé showed up. What the hell was she doing, bringing Nate up? Something dark and insidious stabbed at Chris's stomach.
"Really?" Roger's frown reappeared. "A boyfriend, this soon? It's not one of those British boy band singers, is it?"
"God, no," Chris grimaced. He's not... Shit. She didn't want to endure her father's inevitable interrogation, but she couldn't say Nate wasn't her boyfriend. Not when she'd been all over him in front of Gloria and had all but professed her love for him to bait the other woman into making a move. The stepmonster was a jealous, vindictive bitch like that. "He's an actor."
"Huh."
Roger didn't seem impressed.
"What's his name?"
"Nate." He shot her a look. Chris sighed. "Nate Reynolds."
"I've never heard of him. What movies has he starred in?"
What she wouldn't give for a glass of wine right now. "He has a role in an upcoming Oscar Bravo film." A tiny role. But Nate would be a star during those 2 minutes. That counted, right?
"What about his past films? Any Academy Awards?"
Chris's skin itched the way it did whenever she touched polyester. Except she was wearing silk, and her discomfort had everything to do with her father's questions and nothing to do with cheap fabrics. "He's done mostly TV work." "Oh, darling." Gloria's laugh grated against Chris's nerves. "Don't lead your father on. Nate isn't a full-time actor."
"Then what the hell is he?" Roger demanded.
"He's a waiter, aspiring to be an actor." Gloria's mouth was a triumphant slash of red against her face. "It's quite romantic, really. The heiress falling for the help." Chris clenched her hands into fists beneath the table. Her Chanel Camellia cocktail ring dug into her palm with a sharp bite. Yes, Nate was a waiter. But she hated the way Gloria said it. The help. Like it was a disease. And Gloria herself hadn't been in his position a few years ago. It wasn't like Nate's socioeconomic status had stopped the step monster from offering him a blowjob, and more, out of either lust for him and or spite toward Chris. "If shacking up with the help is good enough for my father, it is for me," Chris said coolly, even as her blood simmered with anger. "At least Nate has higher ambitions than spending someone else's money and going to the spa every week," Gloria tisked. "You would know, wouldn't you, sugar? Like your father said, your spending has been out of control." She paused delicately. "I'm sorry. I forgot about your job this summer. Are you sure everything's going okay with Bobby? I saw her at Fred Siegel the other day. She mentioned you seemed distracted at work. Something about press clippings and not pulling your weight. I hope Nate isn't distracting you." "Bobby, you bitch." Chris's mouth curled into a snarl. "Speaking of Nate, why don't you tell us what you..." "Enough." Her father slammed his hands on the table. The silverware rattled with alarm, and Gloria and Chris both fell silent.
"This is not how I envisioned dinner," Roger ground out. "You two were supposed to get to know each other better this summer. Chris, you're my daughter, and Gloria, you're going to be my wife. I expect you to have a harmonious relationship. Understand? You don't need to be best friends, but I will not tolerate you squabbling like this every night."
"It's not like you're around often enough to hear us argue." Chris regretted the words the minute they left their mouth. Gloria smirked, and Roger glared at her with an intensity that made Chris's toes curl in her suede Prada boots.
"Perhaps I haven't been around as often as I would have liked," Roger acknowledged. "But I will be here this summer. I'm staying in Los Angeles until your job with Bobby Raiden is over, and we return to Seattle together." He took a deep breath and smoothed a hand over the front of his shirt. "Meanwhile, you and Gloria will spend time together, one-on-one, at least once a week."
Chris's jaw dropped, while Gloria froze, looking like a displeased mannequin in a department store. "But..." They spoke at the same time.
"Once a week," Roger repeated firmly. "I don't care if it's shopping or brunch or a damn knitting club. Clearly, living in the same house isn't enough. You will spend quality time together until you get along."
Chris resisted the urge to tell her father that just because you got to know someone better, it didn't mean you'd like them more. She was sure she'd like Gloria better if she never saw her. But that wouldn't go over well, so Chris remained silent.
"I also want to meet your boyfriend."
She blanched.
"I don't think..."
"I'm hosting a dinner party for some of my entertainment industry friends in a few weeks," Roger said.
Gloria's eyebrows shot up, betraying her surprise. Chris was equally caught off guard. Her father hated parties. He only tolerated them for networking and publicity purposes, and he avoided hosting them as much as possible.
"Movie studio heads, directors, producers. Invite Nate. Perhaps he could make some useful connections."
Huh. Was her dad trying to help Nate? Roger Carrero was all business when it came to his high-powered contacts, and it was not like him to invite someone he'd never met to a hobnobbing event with some of LA's most powerful.
"Make sure he's prepared," her father continued. "If he embarrasses me, I'll make sure he won't get so much as an appearance in a dog food commercial."
That sounded more like Roger. "Okay." Chris didn't know what else to say. In the span of 48 hours, her hire Nate to seduce Gloria scheme had veered so far off the rails she couldn't see the tracks. She could only hope she wouldn't be crushed at the end of all of this. Chapter 14.
I won!
Chris did a little jump in an uncharacteristic display of glee. And Nate would be damned if it wasn't the most adorable thing he'd ever seen. A smile tugged at his mouth.
"Congrats. Your speed is impressive." He closed the distance between them until they both stood on the peak of Runyon Canyon Park.
Los Angeles sprawled before them, the relatively flat buildings nearby giving way to the sleek skyscrapers of downtown in the distance. From this vantage point, they could see the distinctive Capitol Records building, which resembled a stack of records, though contrary to popular belief, such a design had not been intentional, and the ritzy mansions in Hollywood Hills. The neighborhood of the rich and famous was a hodgepodge of architectural styles, ranging from eco-friendly abodes with solar panels to Mediterranean behemoths with sparkling turquoise pools. Chris collapsed on a bench nearby. She'd thrown her hair up in a ponytail and wore a tank top, yoga pants, and sneakers. It was the most casual Nate had seen her outside her house, and he was feeling it. "You didn't let me win, did you?" she asked, her earlier excitement giving way to suspicion. "No," Nate lied. "Not really." He and Chris had spent the morning hiking Runyon Canyon, and toward the last quarter mile, they'd made a bet on who would reach the top first. Nate supposed he could have picked up his pace, but the sight of Chris's round, firm ass and yoga pants had distracted him. Getting distracted wasn't the same as letting her win. He was usually a competitive person, but he wasn't even mad. The view had been worth it. God bless whoever invented yoga pants. "Good," Chris looked satisfied. "Cough up the prize, pretty boy." Nate laughed and took the seat next to her. "Fine." He racked his brain for a good one. "So, I was manscaping for a role." "Oh, no." Chris covered her eyes with her hand. "Any story that begins with, I was manscaping, doesn't end well." His mouth twitched.
"Shh, let me finish. So I was manscaping for a role, and like an idiot, I decided to do it myself. I was in the bathroom doing my thing with the trimmers." She shook her head, the horror evident in her eyes. "And it was going fine until Sky, who was watching some horror movie in the living room, screamed and startled me. I slipped and, well, let's just say that was the most embarrassing trip to the ER I've ever taken. People say doctors don't judge, but they totally judge. You should have seen the look mine gave me. I swear she shook the entire time from trying not to laugh. Not good, considering she was working on a very delicate area of my anatomy."
Chris burst into laughter. "I don't blame her. It's pretty funny."
"You would say that. You're not a man. You don't understand the pain of stabbing yourself in the nutsack on what should have been a normal Friday night."
Nate released an exaggerated shudder.
"No, you tell me."
He draped his arm over the back of the bench. His fingertips grazed Chris's shoulder, and a tiny electric shock sizzled through his veins.
"What's your most embarrassing moment?"
"I don't have to tell you, I won." Her eyes shone with amusement. "The whole point of winning was so I wouldn't have to share my most embarrassing moment."
"If you were a good friend, you'd share it anyway."
She tilted her head. "Is that what we are, friends?" Nate paused, unsure how to answer that question. If he had the choice, they'd be more than friends. Their night on the boat would forever have a starring role in his fantasies. Though they hadn't discussed whether their unlabeled relationship was casual, serious, or something in between. But it was more than lust. He liked Chris. When he first met her, he'd thought she was cold, spoiled, and superficial. And sometimes she could be. But she was also passionate, funny, and sarcastic. She'd stayed with him the night his father was hospitalized, and Skylar adored her. No matter how hard she tried to hide it, Chris did care about people. Or at least, those she deemed worthy of her trust and attention. Nate desperately wanted to be one of those people.
"Sure," he said, "if you want to be. We'd make great friends, with benefits."
He might have imagined it, but he thought he saw a flicker of disappointment in her eyes at his response. Chris turned her head and tugged on her ponytail. Her diamond studs glinted beneath the bright summer sun. "Right. Well, you're in luck, because I have one spot left on my friend roster," she said briskly. "I suppose you could fill it."
I wasn't aware you had a friend quota.
Of course I do. Friendships are exhausting. They require so much energy and emotional labor. If I didn't limit my friend circle, I'd go insane. Chris shrugged, and her skin brushed his fingertips again.
Nate swallowed hard.
Luckily, I dislike most people, so it's never been an issue.
I'm flattered, he said wryly, trying not to focus on his suddenly too tight shorts.
If a brush of her skin could elicit such a powerful reaction from the man downstairs, he was in deep shit.
Nate shifted his weight and removed his arm from the back of the bench. Thank God he'd worn loose shorts for jogging, so Chris couldn't see how much she affected him.
Speaking of people you dislike, how goes it with Gloria?
She'd filled him in on her father's ultimatum. Nate had been equal parts bummed and relieved that they wouldn't be able to carry out the rest of Chris's plan. He was out $7,500, which sucked. But he was secretly glad he didn't have to do anything more with Gloria. That woman put him on edge. She was the human equivalent of a viper hiding in the sand.
It's fine. For our mandatory one-on-one time, Chris rolled her eyes, we go to that spa she's always raving about. It's perfect because we get our treatments done alone and don't have to talk to each other. My father will never know. He's too busy with work to get into the specifics. All he cares about is that we go somewhere together once a week.
Maybe you should try to get to know her better, Nate ventured. She's going to be your stepmother, so a truce would be useful.
Chris's glare could put a zombie back into the ground.
Or not, he said.
I don't want to talk about her. Even hearing her name raises my blood pressure.
Chris fiddled with her earring.
Actually, I have a favor to ask of you.
Nate clutched his chest.
Chris Carrera asking a favor of little old me? I never thought I'd see the day.
Shut up, she grumbled, but she was smiling. Anyway, Gloria spilled the beans about our relationship to our father, and now, yeah, wants to meet you.
Nate's grin disappeared. Meet the parents? He wasn't ready for that. He liked Chris a lot, but they weren't really dating. And he'd bet his last dollar that her father was scary as hell. Fathers didn't like Nate. They took one look at him and, correctly, assumed he would corrupt their daughter's precious virtue. Never mind the fact that their daughters wanted to be corrupted, and it was their choice what they did with their bodies. Plus, Nate couldn't see a multi-millionaire businessman like Roger Carrera being all that thrilled about his only daughter dating a broke college dropout.
I would have told him we broke up, Chris added, but we put on such a show for Gloria that it'd seem suspicious if we ended it just like that. It's also not a one-on-one meeting. He's hosting a dinner party, and there'll be some big Hollywood people there. It could be useful networking for you. I would have asked you earlier, but I wasn't sure whether he was going to go through with the dinner. He sent the official invites out this morning, so I guess he is. He'd never seen Chris look so nervous.
She was right. It would be good networking. But Nate dreaded the thought of meeting her father in some fancy schmancy environment even more than he dreaded meeting the man one-on-one. What if Nate wore the wrong clothes or used the wrong fork? He wasn't schooled in rich people etiquette. There was no way he could say no, though. Not with Chris looking at him like that, all big brown eyes and soft skin.